Good morning. I'm Craig D'Onofrio. You're listening to the Bible Study on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Today on the Bible Study, we have... Pastor, I'm having a hard time reading your name. Curtis...
Dieterding,
sorry. I have on these new bifocals, and I can't quite focus on the screen. You know, I'm still learning how this works. And I tend to walk around with a headache most of the time also. Thanks so much for being with us. You are from Fergus Falls, Minnesota, pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church, correct?
That is correct.
Hey, yeah. I got the right one here.
that's good. That's a good start for the show, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's terrible. How's the weather up there? It's cold down here, 6 degrees.
Hey, we're not getting what you guys are getting, it sounds like. Have you had some ice and all that down there?
Well, not for a few days, but we had a good dose of that, and of course some snow blew through.
Yeah, of course, we always have a lot of snow up here. I mean, it's pretty much that way every winter. So, but we play in it a lot too. We really enjoy the snowmobiling and ice fishing and skiing and so forth. I mean, when you have as much as we have, we just really need to give thanks for it and enjoy it as we have it. So,
6 degrees is kind of a fall day for you guys up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of balmy right now. It's been below zero a lot more this winter than it has. I think they've been saying that this is the coldest winter that they've had in the last 100 years. So, and it started, the sub-zero temperatures actually started at the beginning of December. And generally that doesn't start to, like, you know, the end of December, maybe the beginning of January. But, yeah, it's been a cold one.
Well, enough about the weather. That's not what we're here to do, is it?
No.
We're here to study God's Word. Before we do that, I would like to hear about your church. Tell us a little bit about your church. What's going on up there?
Oh, absolutely. Trinity Lutheran here in Fergus Falls. We have a preschool, and our preschool's been growing over the last few years. We've surely been thanking the Lord for that. We live in a community that's been pretty much the same size since the 1950s, so people have been kind of coming in and coming out, but for the most part, we've had families that have lived here for many, many decades, and it's a wonderful community to live in. It's a retirement community as well. I noticed that since I've been here, which has been about 10 years, the community has built a lot of retirement-type facilities and homes and residences. And so it's just it's really a nice little community, and we've really enjoyed living here and raising our family here.
I usually think of retirement communities being south, not north.
Well, that may be true, but, I mean, there's people up here that are getting old, too. I know it's a little, you know, they live a little longer in the north, from what I understand, so we definitely need the facilities up here. And, Fergus Falls, actually, when you look at other towns their size, has every level of care that there is possible, really, for our elderly, and just as many levels of care as the Twin Cities have. And there's not many towns in Minnesota, anyway, that can boast that, and I'm not sure... that many towns the size of Fergus Falls, around 13,000, can boast that either. So,
A lot of times our churches focus on bringing in the young. We want the young people, but a lot of times the older folks get overlooked, and sometimes they're the most faithful and the best givers and those who actually have so much more to offer at times that get overlooked. So what a blessing it is to have a community of retiring folks and retired folks that can pass on history, can pass on wisdom, and so much more to those of us who are a little bit younger.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a lot of opportunities for intergenerational type service and working together and playing together. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Beautiful. Pastor Dieterding, would you start us out with a word of prayer this morning and ask the Lord to bless the word?
Sure. Dear Lord, we come before you this day and ask that your word would enter into our minds and into our hearts again through the power of your Holy Spirit as we study yet another portion of your holy word to us. Help us to learn how to be strong in you, how we might increase in our spiritual strength, how we can put on the whole armor that you give to us to stand against the schemes of the devil, to wrestle against the flesh and blood, and we know that you have that kind of power, same power that continues to put rulers and authorities in their place. We ask that you would continue to bless us with the good news that our salvation is something that cannot be taken away from us because of the strength that you have to hold us steadfast in that faith. And that's what we continue to pray for, that you would strengthen us. And may you do so again this day, in your words, in the name of Christ Jesus, we come to you in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Let's take a look at our text. Today we're talking about Ephesians 6, starting at chapter 10. And we read that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Pastor, in this first section here, we're told about this armor of God. I remember being a child, and in Sunday school, we'd sing songs about the armor of God, and we'd make believe that we're putting it all on at the same time. What do you know about this armor of God that he talks about here? I know that's a big question, but there's a lot of territory to cover here.
Well, I have to say, you know, when I read this and whenever I share this, especially with our youth, you know, I talk about verse 12 a lot. You know, there you have that passage, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And it almost sounds like something that comes out of, you know, like a Star Wars movie or some kind of, you know, movie where it's talking about the evil forces. You know, a lot of our young folks are exposed to good and evil in the fantasy world. But it's no fantasy in the world that we're living in. I mean, these evil forces are all around us. They're not something that we can see. It is in the spiritual realm. They're things that are happening in and to our hearts and our minds. And they can get ill, they can get beat down, they can be killed. Our spiritual life, our spiritual walk, we can be killed in that walk, and we need protection. And so that's what this armor is about. You know, you ask, what is the whole armor of God? It is spiritual armor. It's armor to beat down all that would attack us in our sinful flesh. That's even from within, and even that which comes from outside of us, the world, and the schemes of the devil, as it's put in here. I love that phrase because we can definitely identify times in our lives when we have maybe heard things or seen things with our eyes that translate in our minds things that cause us to doubt all that God is and all that he has done for us in Christ Jesus. There are times when we have tragedies happen in our lives that just totally devastate us to the point of asking the question, where is God? We need this armor, and this armor comes in the form of our faith, in the form of God's strength coming to us by the power of His Spirit, in the form of righteousness, in the form of the gospel of peace and of His Word. And so there's a lot here. This you can unpack this and have a number of sermons just based on just a couple of these passages at a time each week.
I look at the Greek here in verse 11. Is the panopleion tou theou, the armor of God, God's armor that is being put onto us. Does this armor have anything to do with anything that we can do or avoid doing? Or is it just something that is put on us by God?
That's a good point because, you know, a lot of times we think that there are things that we try to do to overcome the spiritual issues that hit us, the spiritual evil that attacks us. And there's really nothing we can do against that. And so, as I said before, it's something outside of us that has to come and bring protection. And in this case, it is God's armor that needs to come and be a part of our lives. We cannot develop a spiritual life on our own, which people are trying to do today, just kind of trying to take bits and pieces of spiritualism from different religions and to accommodate their own sinful flesh, really. But here, the armor of God is a complete dependence, a complete and total, humility that to humble ourselves and to allow God to completely protect us and to depend and rely completely on Him through the faith that He has given to us through the power of the Spirit. It's always the work of the Spirit and the work of God that we need to be dependent upon, especially when it comes to the evil forces of this world.
I think about other places in Scripture where things are put on us, like in Galatians 3, where those of us who have been baptized have put on Christ. And I believe the text in the Greek is a little vague there as to if we put it on or if God has put it on us and that sort of thing. So this covering of Christ, I notice as we look through the text here also, that there are kind of references toward the Trinity in a lot of these things. There's the physical and the spiritual, and of course the Father is involved also. Is it fair to say that those of us who are baptized are also given this armor?
Well, I mean, that's the community to which Paul is talking to here, of course, is the Christian community in Ephesus, which would be the baptized community. Because when we are actually clothed in the gifts of our baptism, the forgiveness of sins and salvation, we also have available to us this armor of God, which is something that continually is put on as we live out our lives in faith and as we continue to be dependent upon God's Spirit to work in our lives. You know, there are other passages. There are a number of places in the Scripture where it talks about God clothing us. Another place would be Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12, where it talks about putting on, compassionate hearts and kindness and meekness and patience. These are not things that come naturally to the sinful being, to our sinful being, to the natural man. That these are things that come to us through God's Spirit that actually we grow in. These gifts and these clothes and this armor are all from God.
A lot of times we like to think that we do the faith and we do a lot of the work here. And I look first at verse 10, which is where we start. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. A lot of times we like to think that we're going to go out and do battle against the devil. I'm going to put on my armor and I'm going to, go out there, be the intrepid Christian, and I'm going to take on the devil. Is that foolishness for us to think that way, Pastor?
No, absolutely not. I mean, that's where we need to be as Christians. I mean, when you look at that passage, it is showing us that it is the Lord's work that we need to be dependent upon. It doesn't just say, and finally be strong in your own confidence and in the power and the strength that you have now as a result of being a Christian. What it is saying is, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I mean, it's all the work of the Lord throughout. The problem that we have is when we try to take over and when we decide that we don't need to rely on the strength of the Lord, but we're going to rely on our own strength, and then what happens is we fall into the trap of being weak spiritually, not wearing the armor, not being protected, and fall again into the schemes of the devil and into sin. And that's something that is done whenever we try to take over again. It's really the first sin of the garden, repeated, you know, again and again each time we sin in our life.
We're talking with Pastor Kurt Dieterding of Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus, Minnesota. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, please do. Feel free to call us 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 with your comments and questions. We'd love to hear them. Pastor Dieterding, I was looking through Kretzmann's commentary before the program here, and he makes this statement that I really appreciated, and I'm wondering if you would comment on it also. He says, "But it is not enough for soldiers to summon all their strength for the encounter and to remain constant in constant touch with their general. He must also have the right armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Pastor, are we just kind of guerrilla fighters on our own, or do we need to be constantly supplied and sustained with all that we need? That's kind of a gimme question, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the imagery here, that we are soldiers, you know, in this warfare between good and evil, between, you know, the devil and God. And so, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a picture. And it's a picture that the people of Ephesus would have been familiar with. They would have been familiar with, you know, Rome and its occupation, and they would have been familiar with the military aspect as well. So this is not language that would be foreign to them. I do have to share that, you know, I had a wonderful opportunity this past November to actually be on a cruise. I think I mentioned it in the last program that I was on. Went on a cruise to the Mediterranean, and one of the cities that we got to visit, one of the ruins, was Ephesus. And so now as I read this letter, I actually have visions of that city and just how advanced they were. And, you know, you could definitely see a city of people there that had it all. I mean, in that time and in that history, if you lived in Ephesus, you would have been in one of the cities, several of the cities where you believed you have it all. I mean, it would be a place you'd want to live and die right there, because they were so modern in how they lived. But I also appreciate the challenges that Paul had to come into that community and to share a gospel about something that happened over in the Middle East, over in the Holy Land, to bring that message there, and to a people that pretty much thought they had everything going on, you know? I mean, how could they even get to the point of discovering that in Paul's message that they truly are sinners, and that that strength is found in suffering and messages like that. That would have been fallen on deaf ears quite often there. So it's just really interesting that here he is talking to the community. I mean, this letter is written to those who were converted, those who now believe in all that God has done for us in His Son Jesus Christ, and appreciate the imagery that Paul uses. And he uses different imagery to talk about different things, just as Jesus did too when describing things, so that we'd have a more of a connection of what he's referring to and what he's talking about. And war, and being protected during war, these would be very much recognized and still are even to this day. We too understand the importance of being well-armed and being protected as we go into war, too.
Mm. You were talking about how they were a very modern people. Would that just be in their philosophy and their technology, or both?
It's definitely in their technology, and they would have believed so in their philosophy too, because they a lot like the Corinthians, really prided themselves on their human intellect. One of the most impressive buildings among the ruins there in Ephesus was their library, and it was just fabulous. What a beautiful structure that must have been in its day, and to be able to boast that they had an extensive library there is quite incredible, especially for that time period when, you know, they didn't there was no printing presses and things of that nature. I mean, these books and literature would have been very hard to come by as far as having access to it, and you know, a community with access to that kind of knowledge, they would have definitely seen themselves as way ahead of the rest of the world.
I would imagine that in their philosophy also, having been influenced by the Greeks and then also the Romans, that the gospel would be a very difficult thing to proclaim, even as it is in the Western world today, where people have a very skewed view of, as you pointed out, sin and grace. And you know, in our culture, people just kind of think, well, you know, God's given me these urges, so it must be okay for me to follow them. Do you think that that was kind of the philosophy of the day also?
Well, I believe that there was a difference, and the difference is that today here in the United States, we have that gospel message at least verbally proclaimed to where people just trip over it. I mean, they know, everybody at least knows that there is a person named Jesus. They know what the Christians say about him and so forth. In Paul's day, this is new. There was no New Testament to work with and hand to people. You couldn't hand out Bibles. You know, you did have the Jewish presence. They knew the Old Testament. They knew of the Old Testament a lot of the people, but all the Gentiles that would have lived there were believing in false gods. The god of Artemis was there, the temple there for that particular god. So I mean, I saw that in all the different ruins, the towns that we were in, that there were temples, you know, built to the different gods. And so the people filled that gap, that spiritual gap in their lives, and they were falling to the false enemies, you know, and they were going to go down in this war because they did not know the truth. They were not on the side of the light, the side of the strength that can bring salvation and eternal life like Christ can. And so that imagery is really, really good. But at the same time, you know, I have an appreciation for the fact Paul's coming in there cold. He's coming in there with a message that really has never been heard, and bringing it to Jews who already understand who God is, and some of them were offended, some of them embraced it, some of them were brought to faith through the power of the Spirit, working in that word. And so it's just interesting to kind of look at the world that Paul was looking at, and to see the challenges and how much different they were in the sense of not everybody really hearing about Jesus yet, not really even having an opportunity to hear anything of the gospel. And today, you know, it is different. But I do agree with you that, you know, our sinful side, our sinful part, we want to continue to take over, and we want to be our own general, our own, you know, our own person, and we're going to go down in this spiritual warfare if that's the case.
We are looking at Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 10 and through the rest of the chapter here. Let's take a look here.
Well, this is Ephesians.
I'm sorry, Ephesians. We're starting Galatians tomorrow. My brain locked on me.
Okay. Just wanted to help out. There.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Pastor, what is this evil day? Oh, we need to take a break. We'll take up that question when we come back on the next section of the Bible study.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Thursday, February 6, 2014. Today's day sponsors are Dale and Sandy Decker. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in honor and celebration of their 32nd wedding anniversary. Again, we say thank you to Dale and Sandy Decker of St. Louis, Missouri, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Welcome back to the Bible Study. I'm your host for today, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio. We're talking with Pastor Kurt Dieterding from Trinity Lutheran Church in Fergus, Minnesota. Pastor Dieterding, I have to apologize to you. I'm very distracted today. Right after the program, I have to run out of the studio and go sign all the final documents on my new house. And I've been very excited about this, but also very distracted with the whole thing. So I'm a little bit of a dingbat today. So have mercy on me, and I'll depend on you to carry a big part of the show for me.
Okay. Thanks for the warning.
I'm just really distracted today. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Do you know what this evil day is that St. Paul's talking about here?
Well, the evil day is always, that day whenever you, you're fighting against those things that are of the devil. I mean, it's not just, a specific day, but everything that culminates to the end. And so, you know, whenever you're looking at that evil day, anytime that we hear the word day, we think in terms of the end times, you know, that God is helping us to battle these evil forces until that time. But, I mean, evil happens all around us, but there will be that day when, God is going to have to come and actually put an end to all things. And yet it is also a glorious day in that Christ Jesus will be taking those who have remained in faith in him into an eternal life forever.
I think as we're putting on this armor of God, we're given to think about enemies, and we're told that the last enemy is death. Is that possibly that evil day also, as well as, the day when the judgment comes and
absolutely,
so forth?
Absolutely, because, that will be the day for us. The evil day, I guess, in that sense, because we are fighting against the forces of evil, which includes all of our enemies, our greatest spiritual enemies, and of course death being the final one. And anyone who has had a loved one and have watched them go through those last days and hours of death, can almost have that picture in their mind of a battle between life and death. We can see it there. Fortunate are those that fall asleep, did not have to fight that physical battle at the end and are able to be just taken to their dear Lord in heaven immediately. But, we are reminded of that. We are reminded that, indeed, God is going to take care of all of this, and we'll never have to suffer any of this again. Sin or the devil or the death ever again. Once we are with him, and that's all guaranteed in the one who you know, fought the battle and reigns victorious, and that's our Savior Jesus.
Amen. Let's take a look at this armor, shall we?
Let's do.
Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. What can you tell us about this belt of truth, Pastor?
Well, it's going to be very important that we know what the truth is about ourselves. Truth also reveals to us that which is pure and holy and is for our blessing, and yet at the same time it also exposes that which is evil. And of course the truth we're talking about here is the absolute truth of God, and we believe that His Word is that absolute truth for us. And so we need to have that truth in order to combat the lies, the prince of lies, which is the devil himself, and with all that would attack us, that would be against that which is true. Especially in our world today, we have all kinds of people with intellectual ideas that try to convince us that what they're saying is the absolute truth, when in reality, as good as it may sound to our fleshy ears, our sinful ears, it's actually a lie, and it's actually something that can be destructive in our lives and in our world. So the belt of truth is extremely important to strap on as we face this battle.
A lot of people, as you point out, have a lot of different ideas about things. The world lies to us. As I'm thinking about us being attacked as Christians, I think about what's referred to as the unholy trinity, the world, the devil, and the self, our own desire for sin. And these are the things that attack us as Christians. This belt of truth that we put on, all of this, I would imagine, revolves around the Word of God, that we might know the truth.
Absolutely.
And so we are to gird ourselves, to brace ourselves up with this belt of the truth of the Word of God. So we are to avail ourselves of regular Bible study and hearing the preached word, receiving the sacraments, and all these things shore us up in our faith. Is that right?
That's exactly what you've put that very well. I thought you said I was going to carry this.
Oh, sorry. I'll let you talk about it then.
No, you're doing a fine job. I'm just
sorry.
Sitting back and listening now.
Too many years of the parish. I can't shut up, I guess.
That's right. There you go. It's contagious.
It is. And so such good stuff and so abundant of stuff that we have here to talk about. Then we're given to talk about the breastplate. Did I skip one?
Nope.
The breastplate of righteousness. Flesh that out for us.
Yeah, the breastplate of righteousness. When you think of a breastplate as a piece of the armor, we think of that piece that fits around the upper part of our torso, generally made out of some kind of a metal that was used in battle, and of course it's to protect primarily the heart, and of course you think of the lungs. Primary organs that you need in order to stay alive, that which gives us life, and what gives us life in the spiritual realm, of course, is righteousness. To be right with God puts us in the position of those who will receive eternal life. And so in order to live now as people of God, we want to have that protection of staying alive, and that means alive spiritually in this sense, as Paul is talking about, just as a breastplate would keep us alive physically in the battle when arrows would hit us there, or when someone comes at us with a spear or whatever would come at us that would try to hurt us and to take our life. And so
it's contagious, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. As Robin Williams used to say, rented lips. What can you expect? But anyway, representing Christ's righteousness with which God clothes us, this idea of, again, it's God that is giving us this clothing. You had talked about this at the beginning when we look back at verse 10. It is the Lord that gives us the strength. It's the Lord that gives us this armor. And he is the one who really, through the power and his strength, helps us to put that on so that we can stand ready and you know, for the battle, that we can truly understand that we're going to be protected so that our life, our very life, our soul, will not be taken.
Let's take a call. We have Cheryl calling in Indianapolis. Welcome to the Bible study, Cheryl. What's your question or comment for us today?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I am struck by the fierceness of the spiritual battle in my everyday life. And the goal of the spiritual battle is to separate both our bodies and our soul from God's loving presence and to keep us from fixing our eyes on Jesus. And my brother's PA was murdered by another PA, and it devastated the whole community. This is a fierce battle. The goal is to control our minds and hearts and separate us from God. But I was thinking that it helps to know who is the leader of the army. And I was looking at Isaiah 9, verse 6, verse 15 in Ephesians, where it talks about the gospel of peace. And Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And I was also thinking that all of the Psalms, when you read the Psalms, you realize that the Lord is the one who vindicates us, who he's our light and our salvation. He is our shield. He is our righteousness. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. The word of the Lord proves true. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause of ungodly people. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. I've had recently received a reading the Psalms with Luther.
Good book.
That makes it all this clear how Jesus Christ is the leader of our army and our spiritual battle, and we can't do anything without him.
Amen, Cheryl. Thank you so much for your call. Cheryl, you're such a good friend to KFUO. Thank you so much. Pastor Dieterding, any thoughts about that?
What a wonderful witness the Lord provided through her. I mean, just, you know, again, everything that she was quoting from the Scripture is all about the Lord's work in our life and how we have to be fully dependent upon that. And it's very strange that as she's talking, I'm thinking of the contemporary group named Lost and Found, and they had a song that, oh, those lions, they can eat my body, but they can't swallow my soul. And, you know, those words are so powerful in that, you know, all these enemies can continue to try to attack us and try to take us away from God, to try and take our very life and soul away. And yet it is God that we need to continue to be dependent upon, because, I mean, you can even take my life, and my life is not over. My life still is in God and is in Christ. And it's going to be that way forever, that this body will one day be raised again to live with together with my soul with our Lord in heaven. And to hear that witness again of someone who's lost someone so close to them through such a tragedy is a powerful witness to all of us and a reminder again that God is the one that has the strength to overcome. We saw that when Christ gave up his own life and suffered for us on the cross, and that we see that victory in his resurrection resurrection that's promised to each and every one of us. He's the first fruits of all of us that will be raised from the dead for eternal life. And there is no greater joy and strength that we can have as we move from day to day, even through all the garbage that the devil and this world and even our own sinful flesh can throw at us.
Amen. Through his death, he conquered death. Let's look at more of this armor, if you don't mind. The shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Tell us about these shoes, Pastor.
You know, I was looking a little bit, actually, at those shoes as I was kind of reviewing this again, trying to recall what did I learn from my past studies and so forth on this. And, you know, what we recall is that we need shoes that are ready to go. You know, when you think about it, and I've heard this from different soldiers, I've not ever been in the military myself, but I've heard stories about, you know, it is important to have good shoes, good boots, good walking, because these guys walk miles, and blisters and different foot issues and cramps and aches and gout, and it just goes on and on, all the different things that can happen to your feet. They need to be protected, because that is what is going to carry you and to help you to stand firm and help in the battle. You know, eventually, we've got to carry that gospel, too. That's another vision that comes into mind as we hear about, beautiful are the feet that carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to others as well. So it's important that we have good boots to actually go into battle with, and so we can stand firm in the gospel that God has given to us.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, I haven't been in the military either, but I have seen lots of war movies. So I don't know if that qualifies me for anything.
And you can see whenever they take those boots off, oh, the pain.
Yeah, you always think about the sergeant yelling, keep your socks dry, you know, fresh socks, powder your feet, and so forth, and of that. And you brought up that passage that I love so much, and I was thinking of it also, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring or proclaim the gospel. And so we want to protect those feet, right?
That is correct. Those feet are going to be important to us. So this makes a lot of sense.
And they make that possible to take the gospel to the four corners of the world. Let's move on here. Let's see here. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, Pastor.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. You know, when we think of shields, we usually think of the little shields that we see on television, you know, in those battles. But generally, those shields that they would have would be like pretty close to full-body shields. And I know that there are some movies that do depict that, actually, where, you know, it's for the protection of the entire body against the arrows or what would come in at you. And in this case, you know, they say, which can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. You know, that's all part of this passage on this shield. I really loved what the commentary said. It really got me to thinking. I was looking at the commentary, especially in the ESV commentary that's put out by Concordia. And pardon me for reading this, but I think it says it well. It says, the arrows were dipped in pitch and set on fire. In defense, Roman soldiers soaked their full-length, leather-covered wooden shields in water before the battle. And in a sense, you know, it goes on to say it's an allusion to our baptismal refuge. I mean, if you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are every moment aimed at us, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible. A quote from Martin Luther is given there as well. And I'm thinking, you know, that's very interesting that if you use the historical understanding of how these weapons were used, that's very interesting that they would dip them in water, actually, to try to ward off those flaming arrows. Because if they'd stick in those wooden, because a lot of times they were made out of wood, too, shields, those shields wouldn't last too long. And then they wouldn't offer protection. But it's interesting that the water is mentioned there because we think of our baptism and that indeed we are baptized into the one who gives us the strength, who gives us this armor, into the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit that is continually at work as we study His Word again this day, every time that we hear that Word, every time we share that Word with others.
That really is ingenious, and I hadn't read that before about soaking it in leather or in water like that. And it makes me wonder, how long would it have taken me to figure out something like that? How many shields would have been burned up? I probably would have been killed before I could have figured that out. But then tying that to baptism is just brilliant. That's fantastic how it is our baptism that can extinguish all these things as we are baptized into Christ. This word faith always perks up my ears. A lot of times we think that faith is something that we do instead of something that has been given to us. And when we talk about faith, we always want to talk about that object of our faith, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what a wonderful way to see that in this taking up the shield of faith, you know, that it's something that's outside of us, that's been given to us as a gift, and it's actually something that continually protects us against anything that the devil can throw at us. And flaming darts is always a good imagery, since that's the end, that's the ultimate end that the evil one will have. It's just apropos to actually have that imagery there, other than the fact that the Holy Spirit actually moved Paul to write these words. but the shield of faith, to think of faith as a shield against all that can attack us is just awesome, absolutely awesome.
And is Christ is the object of our faith, then is it fair to say that Christ stands between us and the arrows?
I think that's right on. I mean, that's just that's just part of what faith is. You know, what do we place our faith in? And that is in all that Christ has done for us and continues to do for us, even through the power and the work of the Spirit, even today, in this ongoing battle, which will continue until that last day.
I think of a quote from Martin Luther, and this isn't a direct quote, so don't sue me on this one, but where he talks about when the devil comes and accuses us and says all of these things about us that are true. We aren't worthy to be Christians. We shouldn't go to church because we're not worthy and all this. We aren't worthy, and that's true. But he says, what of it? I'm baptized.
Yes, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's our protection. That's what continues to keep us in God's favor, because we surely can't do that. And so it is important for us to understand that even that work of being right with God is not anything that we can participate in. It's all been done through His work, through the work of course, His Son, Christ Jesus.
The helmet of salvation. It doesn't have a whole lot of modifiers around it or anything. That's just...
No, I noticed that. Well, you know, I mean, obviously, when we hear Jesus talking about how we are to be in a relationship with our Father in heaven, He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, you know, and with all your mind, you know, to love Him with your mind. So we're talking about heart and mind here, you know, that we definitely need protection there, because this is what actually helps us to live and to operate in this world. And definitely we need a mind to be able to function and to live as God's children. So to have the helmet of salvation means to just make sure that we continue to have in our mind the protection of this gift that God has given to us in Christ Jesus, that we know that in our heart and in our mind that it's all God's strength and all that He has done for us to save us.
And then finally, we're given to discuss the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it says here. When I was a kid, I remember in Sunday school, we'd have what we called sword drills, where the teacher would shout out a Bible verse, and the first kid to get to the verse in their Bible and read it would get a gold star or something like that. What is the deal with this sword and the Word?
Well, that's really interesting that you had a teacher that actually had sword drills.
I grew up Baptist, so
that's interesting. I mean, that really connects you well with this passage, and so you know, that's really awesome. I like that. Well, we also hear the Word of God as a two-edged sword, and we always. always, you know, there's a lot of theological literature that's been developed on the basis of this kind of imagery, that it, you know, it cuts, you know, that there's a cut there. We know that there's two governing aspects or themes in the scripture, that of the law. The word definitely comes pure and holy and perfectly true, and it tells us right from wrong. There is, you know, just right down the middle, and so it can kill, you know, in that sense. When we think of it as a sword, the law really kills us in a spiritual sense because of our sin, and literally we're responsible for that because we are the sinful people. But it basically shows us that there's no hope for us because of our sin, and that we have been separated from God, and we have His wrath upon us as a result of sinning. We have that condemnation that separates us eternally from God. But yet there is another aspect, too, that the sword is used to defend us from the evil one and from all that would kill us spiritually, and that is the gospel, where Christ Jesus truly has come to save us and to has fought for us, literally has fought for us and has won this war for us. But nevertheless, we need to have that sword, that word of God there, always helping us to know the need that we have for forgiveness of sins, to be made right with God, and that need was fully taken care of in Christ Jesus through all that He did in His suffering, in His death, and that battle on the cross against the evil one, and then raising from the dead, defeating that final enemy, death.
So we were told with that to pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly in proclaiming the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. St. Paul talks here about being an ambassador in chains. We just have about a minute and a half left. Pastor, would you like to address that or the rest of the text in general in just a brief period here?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, what we have here is this picture of us as soldiers going into battle. And, you know, you can't help but think of, you know, that famous song that's located in the section in our hymnal under the theme, The Church Militant. And you can't help but wonder, you know, and know that behind this would be passages like this one here that we've just been studying, Onward Christian Soldiers, you know, marching us to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see His banners go. You know, what a beautiful picture of us going like a mighty army, moving forward, and an army of saints. Not that we made ourselves that way, but that God has delivered us, and He makes us one to fight against the evil one. So we're not in this battle alone. We know that God is there. He is the general, the master, the one leading us, because He alone has the strength to combat and win that final battle. And then I'd like to just share at least the final verse of that hymn. Onward then, ye faithful, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, loud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. And we indeed will sing together, you know, as onward Christian soldiers marching us to war, until that day when we will enjoy not just a victory finally together, all the saints throughout all time, but that we will enjoy that victory eternally with our Lord Jesus.
We are out of time. Thank you so much, Pastor Kurt Dieterding. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, we pick up with the book of Galatians on the Bible study.
South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.